All right, welcome to Dixie Broadcasting tonight. You're listening to another Pelican Pages segment here at Dixie Broadcasting. And for those of you who may not be familiar with the Pelican Pages segments that we do, Pelican Publishing is one of the sponsors here at Dixie Broadcasting, and each month we try to bring you interviews with different authors that have new books coming out with Pelican Publishing. And tonight, we just have a real special treat for you because we have not only one of the, the best-selling authors of Pelican Publishing, but we also have a very good friend of Dixie Broadcasting and a personal friend. And I think someone that is definitely, if nothing else, one of the biggest personalities in the Southern movement today. We are very pleased to have with us tonight, via the telephone line, Mr. Donnie Kennedy. Donnie, thanks for being on the show with us tonight.
Ray, it's always a pleasure to be with the good folks on Dixie Broadcasting, and I really appreciate y'all inviting me, and I appreciate y'all supporting Pelican Publishing Company. They're a wonderful group of people.
Well, just about a month and a half ago, we had the privilege of interviewing Dr. Calhoun, and that was the first time that I'd ever interviewed him. I know he's probably done some others on some other stations along the way, but we tried to include some of the history of Pelican Publishing in that interview so that years down the road, maybe we'll have something of historical significance, too.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, Donnie, I know we have a good bit of things that we want to cover tonight before we're through with the interview, but I'd like to start, if we could, by you just telling us a little bit about who is Donnie Kennedy and how in the world did you get involved in the Southern movement?
Well, sir, I'm a good Calvinist. I was predestined to be in the Southern movement.
I knew that was coming in there somehow.
Oh, Lord. I always tell people that I was born into the Southern movement. And most of us Southerners, even if we don't realize it, the South is in our blood, it's in our nature. It comes with our mother's milk, you know. So I can remember growing up as a child, not understanding history, not knowing history, but yet loving to hear stories from my grandparents and my great aunts and great uncles and older cousins who would tell me about their fathers or grandfathers who fought in the Civil War. And those stories lasted as a mere child. They stayed with me, but I always remember going to school and realizing the stories that I was reading in those history books just did not match either in nature, in honesty, and certainly not in passion with what I was being told at home. So that's what really got me interested. Ron, my twin brother, and myself, growing up together, I think this is the one advantage we had. We could bat these issues back and forth to each other growing up. And we decided sometime, I would say in the mid-70s, that we had to do something to try to set the record straight about the South, about the Southern history, what Southerners were really like, what were we about. What did our forefathers fight for in the so-called Civil War? What was all that about? And give some type of defense so that our children and our children's children wouldn't grow up just absolutely hating us for being evil, wicked, racist, bigoted, ne'er-do-wells. And, you know, that's really how Ron and I got started in this Southern movement.
Now, Donnie, you've been involved in a number of different Southern organizations dating back really to a time when the Southern movement was really, I guess, in its genesis form as far as the modern Southern day Southern movement. Can you give us an idea of some of the different organizations you've been a part of, and maybe some of the different roles you fulfilled in those organizations?
You know, we got started, I think, Ron and I did, as you know, growing up, as I said, we didn't understand just how much of a Southerner that we were. But as we grew older and graduated from high school and began our professional career, then we really began to realize there's something going on in the South. The people were not loving the South the way we did. They had a different opinion. And so I would say somewhere around the mid-60s to the late 70s, Ron and I started looking to organize people to do a pro-South type of organization. Unfortunately, at that point in time, the South was just getting over the incursion of the civil rights movement and the social changes that were going on at that time. And there were several times we started things like one of the things we organized was a Southern National Party. And we tried to get that moving way back in the late 60s and found eventually that we gave up on it because it was taken over by a bunch of people. All they wanted to do was talk about race issue in a derogatory manner. And Ron and I had gone way beyond that. We became believers in liberty and in Christianity, and we didn't want to practice hatred. So many organizations like that, we just come up and then let it go because that's not what we were about, and we didn't want the South to be known as that type of society. But later on, other organizations such as the Confederate Society of America, the League of the South, Sons of Confederate Veterans, many local Southern historical groups that we worked with, things of this nature. And I think the two things that I'm the proudest of is my position, the Sons of Confederate Veteran, as past commander of the Louisiana Division Sons of Confederate Veterans, and also as a founding member of the League of the South. So, and you know, there are other groups I work with too, but those are just hitting the high points.
And of course, Donnie, you're still very instrumental in a number of things. You still do a lot of speaking every year around at different places, don't you?
Oh man, I tell you what, if you look at my calendar, you know, for somebody that does nothing, I reckon it's not bad, but I work, I'm semi-retired. I only work about 2 weeks a month now, but so I try to work in my speaking engagements on my weeks off, and that's one of the reasons why I'm semi-retired, so I can do that. So I've got a pretty well a busy calendar, especially during January and February, doing a lot of Lee Jackson banquets, which I thoroughly enjoy. Being able to honor Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson and to point our people to that type of Christian gentleman. You know, our society today, we don't have heroes. I was listening to, I think, the guy that's filling in for Rush Limbaugh today. He was bemoaning the fact of the loss of heroes. I don't know if you followed it or not. They had some woman who is an astronaut involved in a three-way scandal. And the guy said, you know, astronauts were the last heroes we had that hadn't been scandalized. And I thought to myself, you know, if you people had been busy defending the honor of people like Robert E. Lee, Jefferson Davis, Stonewall Jackson, there would be plenty of heroes to point our children to. But instead, the neocons, the neoconservatives, have joined ranks with the liberals in attacking people that they ought to bet should have been defending, like Robert E. Lee. So during this time of year, January, February, I do a lot of Lee Jackson banquets. I do a lot of SCV League activity. Ron and I are trying to do a series of head schools for the League across the South on slavery and liberty in the South, and different things like that.
And now you also have been a television star from time to time too, right?
Well, yeah, I try to get on that medium as much as I can. I think in my career so far, I've been in Hollywood three or four times. I was on, if y'all remember, Bill Maher's Politically Incorrect. I was invited to be on there four times. I managed to get on there three times. I've been interviewed by the BBC and French National TV also, dealing with the issues of the South. And an interesting story, I think the first time I was in Hollywood to be interviewed on Bill Maher's show, of course, there was a very anti-South group, as you can imagine. Just a little bit. Both in the studio, I think it was the second time I was there, both in the studio as the employees and all, as well as the audience. But as I was leaving the area, a young couple came up to me that were in the audience, and they were from, as soon as they spoke, I could tell they were from Dixie, and I want to reach out and hug them. They just sounded so sweet. And they said, "We just wanted to tell you thank you, Mr. Kennedy, for defending the South. That we always knew those things that had been said about our people were incorrect, but nobody ever told us that before."
Hmm.
Man, I tell you, it just really did me a lot of good. We got to keep hitting it because our people want to feel good about themselves, and they want to know the truth. They don't want to feel good about themselves for the wrong reason either. They want to feel good about themselves for the right reason. And you and I and people who are listening to this broadcast, we have the information that we can change these ideas about the South.
Well, you're right, Donnie. And, you know, I'm sure all of us that are involved in the Southern movement today, at some time or another, we probably were just like those other folks out there. We felt like we were the only ones in the world, surely, that felt like we did.
Well, Ray, I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, Ron and I, of course, our notoriety is obviously is centered around our first book, The South Was Right, well, which I'm happy to say is probably sold first and second edition over 110,000 copies.
Wow.
That's hardback, too, so that's a good sale for nonfiction.
That is.
A matter of fact, I'm told, I'm no expert on this, but I've been told by those who are supposed to know that any hardback nonfiction that sells over 100,000 is a best-selling book. So I'm hoping that is true. It certainly sounds good. But nevertheless, the most often comment I get from people, I have two comments that I get from people when they read The South Was Right, and the most common comment is, I'm glad to know that there are other people who feel like this. So what Ron and I did, we didn't convince people that, hey, the South was right. We merely patted on the back and said, yes, it's okay. Now go express your feelings about that. And the second statement that I get from people is, I couldn't stand reading your book because every time I'd read a chapter, I'd get so mad I thought I was going to stroke out. I'd put it down, and then I'd go back and read it some more.
Now, which of those two comments do you hear the most?
Well, really, the one I hear most is the one that the former, that they were glad to know that there are other people who felt like this because they thought they were the only one. Like
that's
said.
Great.
And so many of us are feel like that. That's why I keep try to encourage our fellow Southerners, don't give up. This is, my goodness, since Ron and I got started in 1967 with the Southern movement, and we went all over the state of Mississippi trying to get a group of people together. And, you know, I think maybe in the whole state of Mississippi we could come up with maybe four or five people who would basically agree with our concept of the South and the Southern rights movement and the right of the people of the South and the right of the people of the South even to be independent. And we finally managed a meeting in Memphis, Tennessee, and we gathered up all across the South. I think it was like 11 or 12 people. And that was the most we could ever do.
Wow.
And today, there, you know, every time I go to a meeting of the League of the South or the SCV, well, I was speaking at a little rural SCV camp in Jonesboro, Louisiana last night, and in that little rural area, in a little old volunteer fire department there, in the little lunchroom area, I think we had like 14 to 16 folks in there.
I mean, that's, you know, great.
That people, that equals progress, real progress.
Well, it sure does. Folks, we're talking tonight with Donnie Kennedy. He is he, along with his brother Ronnie Kennedy, are two of the best-selling authors with Pelican Publishing. And we're going to be talking tonight about several different topics. You don't want to miss this. We're going to take a break in just a moment. But let me just tell you, folks, if you know Donnie or if you don't, you're in store for some things tonight. You don't want to miss the things we're going to cover coming up in just a few minutes, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back right after this.
They have published some of the most well-known authors in the Southern movement, from the Kennedy brothers to Jimmy Cantrell. Pelican Publishing Company has an incredibly diverse library of over 1,300 titles to their credit, with about 60 new titles published annually. If you like books about history, literature, humor, Cajun cooking, travel, or just about anything else, Pelican's website, ePelican.com, is the place for you. With online catalogs and secure online shopping, it's never been easier to tap into the wealth of knowledge and reading pleasure that Pelican has to offer. At ePelican.com, you can browse all of the Pelican's titles and shop for just the right book for yourself or a gift for someone else. Treat yourself today. Visit ePelican.com. That website again, ePelican.com.
Oozing like a stream of poison through government school and university textbooks. It is the foundation of every newspaper and television attack upon the South and her culture. politicians and activists are dictated by it. It is one of the most pernicious and enduring lies ever leveled upon a people. I am speaking about the Yankee myth of history. For over 30 years, Copperhead Chronicle newsletter editor Al Benson Jr. has been exposing that myth. The Copperhead Chronicle provides its readers with the only effective weapon against the Yankee myth of history, the truth. If you are a Southern activist or a homeschooling parent, or just someone who loves the South, you simply must have the Copperhead Chronicle in your truth arsenal. Visit albensonjr.com to get your one-year subscription, that's four quarterly issues, of the Copperhead Chronicle. Again, go to albensonjr.com. The Copperhead Chronicle, things of truth.
All right, folks, welcome back. This is another Pelican Pages segment here at Dixie Broadcasting, and hopefully we didn't just blow everybody's speakers out there with the feedback just before the end of that commercial. We are very pleased to have with us a special guest on this Pelican Pages segment at Dixie Broadcasting. We have none other than the very eloquent gentleman, Mr. Donnie Kennedy. One of the best-selling authors with Pelican Publishing. And by the way, you can see all of Donnie and Ronnie Kennedy's books at Pelican, that Pelican has available by going to ePelican.com. And all you have to do is type in Kennedy in the search area at the top of the website there, and it'll pull up all the books that they have, and you can go down through and sort through them and see the several books that they have available through Pelican. In getting into this second segment of the interview, though, we do want to make just a couple of brief announcements. Tomorrow will be the inaugural day for the new website of the Southern National Congress. It's been in the makings now for some months, and you'll want to go over and visit that either tonight, maybe get a sneak peek, or go there tomorrow when it's actually officially launched. The website is www.southernnationalcongress.org, and Southern National Congress is all spelled out. So southernnationalcongress.org. Also, another announcement in the Southern Movement News today. This week is the first printing being released of the brand new newspaper being put out by the League of the South. It's called the Free Magnolia, and if you don't already have a copy of that on the way to you in the mail, then you can go to the League of the South website and you can send an email to any one of the contact addresses there, and you can get a copy of that Free Magnolia sent out to you along with information about the League of the South itself. It's a wonderful paper. I just got my first copy in the mail yesterday, Donnie, and I have to tell you, it's something that should have been done a long time ago.
I tell you, Ray, Ron and I are more excited about this Free Magnolia than just about anything we've seen come along for quite a while. I'm real pleased, and take a good look. You'll even see an article in there by the Kennedy boys.
By the way, you'll also be able to read some of the articles online in just a few days, maybe a week or so, and the web address for that online edition will be freemagnolia.org. freemagnolia.org. Now, Donnie, as we came out of this last commercial break, we heard a commercial for Al Benson's Copperhead Chronicle.
Right.
I guess Al's been putting this out for, I don't know, probably since I was in diapers. I'm not sure.
It's been a long time. I've known Al it goes back to the formation of the Confederate Society of America in Monroe, Louisiana, way back in the late 80s, maybe. It may be before that. But anyway, I would like to pass on a prayer request to all our listeners for Al Benson, Jr., the editor of the Copperhead Chronicles. I visited with Al this afternoon at the hospital in Monroe, Louisiana. Al is in fine spirits. He's doing quite well, but he is going to undergo open-heart surgery tomorrow morning. So he looks good. He's in good spirits. We had prayer. We had several visitors, and he and his wife was there, and I did tell him that I would pass along the request for prayer, and he said thanks to everybody ahead of time that his faith is in the Lord and that he knew that his good fellow Southerners were standing with him.
Well, you know, that's one thing that I have found true about the folks that I've met in the Southern Movement, Donnie, is that, even with the possible exception of some folks that I've gone to church with, and I'm sorry to say I can't include all folks I've gone to church with in the past, but I have found some of the best folks I have ever met in my life since I've been involved in the Southern Movement, and it just seems like it's one big family in a real sense.
You're absolutely right. And if folks would like to send Al a card, just a little card, it's Al Benson Jr. at St. Francis Medical Center, Monroe, Louisiana. It's Jackson Street, Monroe, Louisiana. And I'm sorry, I don't know the zip code. You'll have to look up the Yankee occupation code for that. But it's St. Francis Medical Center, Jackson Street, Monroe, Louisiana. Al Benson Jr., and he'll get to it.
Well, folks, we do have Donnie Kennedy with us, and Donnie stays busy all the time. We haven't had Donnie on here with us in a long, long time now. But
don't let that happen again now.
I know. We need to make sure it doesn't happen again. In fact, Donnie, I don't know, maybe we'll let the cat out of the bag towards the end of the program about a couple of things we talked about yesterday.
Well, all right. Remember now, you got several cats to get out of that bag now.
I know. We only have a half hour or so left of the program, so.
Well, that's what you get for getting a cracker like me on here wanting to talk all the time.
Now, folks, I want to do something. I'm going to take just a minute here, and I want to let you know how Ray McBerry, the president of Dixie Broadcasting, became acquainted with the Kennedy brothers and their books. As we mentioned a little while ago, all of us probably listening to this broadcast have felt at some time or another like we were the only ones out there that felt like we did about the South. And I guess it was actually in the holiday season near the end of 1995. Donnie,
wow.
That I was between Thanksgiving and Christmas down in Warm Springs, Georgia, in the little town down there. They always decorate everything up real nice for the holiday season and have a couple of really nice restaurants down there that are Southern-style cooking.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it's kind of a place that a lot of Georgians make a pilgrimage to. So I drove about 2 hours to get down there one Saturday during that holiday time and walked around through all the little shops and had some good food and everything. And in one of the shops down there in Warm Springs, Georgia, I noticed that they had on a bookshelf with just a hodgepodge of different kinds of books, none of them seemed to have any rhyme or reason to the one sitting beside it, there was one copy of what I thought was the most curious book I'd ever seen in my life. And it had a really nice, fancy, slick cover on it, and the title was The South Was Right by James Ronald Kennedy and Walter Donald Kennedy, and I'm still holding that exact copy of the book in my hand right now. Now, I had driven down there about 2 hours. I had already eaten my fill of food and spent what money I had left over on trinkets and stuff down there in the several shops, and I did not have the money that day, Donnie, to buy your book that was sitting there on the shelf. And I sat there, though, and I thumbed through it, and I just read the table of contents, and I said, man, I can't believe this. Somebody actually was able to get this put into print? And I said, well, you know, I just don't have the money to buy it while I'm here, so I guess I'll just have to hope one day I'm able to get back down this way and maybe it'll still be sitting there. I just knew for sure, Donnie, it was the only copy in existence. Well, I drove two and a half hours back home, but the whole way back and that whole next week, I couldn't think about anything except that book and how I wished I had had the money to buy that book while I was down there. So the next Saturday, I drove another two and a half hours back down there to Warm Springs, Georgia, went into that shop. It was still there, so I went ahead and bought the last copy they had and took it home and just devoured it. I got home late in the evening and began reading and read all the way into early Sunday morning, and I just could not put it down. And little did I know, Donnie, that I could have actually gone about 15 minutes across town and bought the book at the local bookstore.
Barnes & Noble, B. Dalton.
Exactly. But I just knew for sure this must be the only copy in existence of this book.
Well, I'm going to tell you, my friend, if the liberals had their way, that would have been the only copy of that book, I promise you.
I'm sure that it would have.
Well, Ron and I have a saying. We always laugh and joke and say, you know, to us, if we don't aggravate the stew out of at least one dang Yankee liberal a day, we've had absolutely a rotten day.
Well, that sounds like a good motto to live by. Now, Donnie, how did you and Ronnie come up with the concept behind the book, The South Was Right?
Oh, well, as I said, we decided every time someone would write a book that was anywhere close to being a pro-South book, Ron and I always would grab it and devour it. I remember reading, it was a book called The South, I'm drawing that. Well, I know I read The Southern Tradition at Bay many years ago, and I love that by Richard Weaver. That was one of the first books that I read that really got me started. But there were other books, The South and the Nation, by some fellow, Lawson or Lawton in Florida. I've lost that book now. Hmm. But we had several books like that. We always said, man, that book almost that's what we really think needs to be said, but never quite got there. And so we started putting an outline together. Then Mike Grissom's book came along, Southern by the Grace of God.
Right.
And Mike's book was great. It came as close as any that we ever read to saying what we wanted to say. And even after meeting Mike, Ron and I sat down and said, you know, Mike's got a good thing going, but he's still not saying what we're saying. The thing that differentiated Ron and myself from most other authors were we were willing to say up front, without equivocation, the South was right. Now, period. That means that the South, when it seceded from the Union, it was right, and principles last forever. If they were right in 1861, they were right at Appomattox. The only thing that happened at Appomattox was a tyrant forced them to surrender. That's it. And they're right today. And in our book, in the introduction, we demand either this country have a radical reformation, return to what the founders intended for this country to be, or the South has a right to pursue independence, because every people have a right, as the Declaration of Independence tells us, we have a right to consent to the form of government that we live under. We have the right, and it's a right, it is a God-ordained right to alter or abolish that government. So that differentiated Ron and myself from anybody else. So once we had an outline of the subject matter that we wanted to cover, pursuing that objective and what we did. See, Ron and I are not writers. You know, we're just a bunch of, actually, we call ourselves the Kennedy Twins of Louisiana. We were born and raised in Mississippi. We've lived our adult life in Louisiana, although. But we are by profession healthcare professionals. Ron's a vice president of a big insurance company in the healthcare field. I'm a nurse anesthetist. You know, we have our postgraduate degree in medicine and in finance and in business. We don't have it in history, but we are history buffs, but we're not writers. So what we did, we took a pie chart, and on each slice of a pie, we would label what later became chapters of a book. Hmm. And that's when we started putting together a book that would point to these issues of independence, Southern independence, because the South was right when it seceded from the Union. Now, these are the reasons we were right. And that later grew into chapters for the book. But I've got to tell you this, Ray. You got to learn how we got the name for the book. Now, I'm surprised, as many interviews I've done about that book, no one has ever asked me, now, Mr. Kennedy, how did you come up with that title for that book? So why don't you ask me that?
Donnie, would you tell us just how in the world you came up with the title for this book?
You know, Ron and I, when we first started out, I wanted to, and we'd come up to the conclusion we would entitle that book To Live or Die for Dixie. And I love that name. Well, Ron, and this goes way back. This goes back into the early 70s. But this is how long we'd been working on this book. See, the book didn't come out until the first edition, until 91. So obviously we didn't know what we were doing. It took us a long time to get all this done. But Ron, at that time, had to take a business trip to Boston, Massachusetts. And do you remember what was going on in the early 70s in Boston, Massachusetts, in the Irish section of Boston? Was there forced busing? They had bombings. They had rioting. They had killings. Do you remember that, Ray? You were a young guy. You may not even remember that then.
I'm afraid I was a little too young back then, Donnie.
All right. Well, actually, what was going on, it was the worst reaction to forced busing and forced integration in the country. Nothing in Georgia compared to what happened in Boston.
Mm.
And, of course, you know, that was really embarrassing to those Bostonian Yankees up there because, you know, they're supposed to be pure and noble and above all this. There's only ignorant, wicked Southerners who are like, you know, that would do stuff like that. But Ron was driving down an interstate and on the side of a concrete embankment in this Irish area where all the rioting had taken place because of the court-ordered forced busing, somebody had scribbled on the wall there, "The South was right." And Ron said when he looked at that, he thought, "Oh my gosh, that's the title of the book."
That's great. That's a tremendous story.
I tell you, it tickles the stew out of me to tell that story. And again, I'm sure there are some Yankees getting real aggravated right now.
I'm sure there are. That's great. Now, how is it that you came into a relationship with Pelican Publishing and Dr. Calhoun?
Well, Ron and I, as I said, we knew nothing about writing books, publishing books. All we knew, and we were too dumb to know that we couldn't do it, so we just went and started doing it, and we put the book together, the first edition, which is half the size of the book that you've got right now.
Hmm.
And it was same title, some of the same chapters that you have in yours, but it needed a lot of work. But what we did, we went self-published that, and in 2 years it sold 5,000 copies.
Wow.
And when you get 5,000 copies of a book circulating, you're going to get 5,000 critiques of your work. So we realized early on that we had a lot of more refinement to do on that book to get it right for mass production. So we went back to the drawing board even as we were selling the first edition and started working on the second edition. And when we got that complete, we took the second edition and chopped it around to a book publisher. You'd send manuscripts out to publisher. Publisher would query letters saying, "Would you be interested in publishing this book? I'm the author," and et cetera, et cetera. I remember I got, of course, you get turned. You learn to get a real thick skin when you do this because you get letters turning you down. And 99% of the letters are very polite. They say, you know, it doesn't meet their standard on this, that, or the other. Thank you for offering that. But I got one from Pennsylvania from some arrogant Yankee at White Main Publishing Company. That is White Main Publishing Company in Pennsylvania, if I remember correctly. And a curt, short, almost, it's not handwritten, but it looked like he wanted it handwritten. He typed it out, I reckon, letter saying he believed that I'd exhausted the sales of that book on the first edition, and I didn't need to even worry about republishing it. I knew I was going to republish it then. But about that time, Dr. Calhoun and the people at Pelican Publishing Company, they contacted and said they'd like to work with us, and we did some more refinement and on the book and worked with it and worked with through their department. They have an excellent publishing group down, editors and people that can really get things done for you, and we work close to them certainly with the publicity for the book and published the second edition then. So we did the first edition basically self-publishing and did 5,000 copies, and the second edition as of 2006, they've said, I think it's like 105 or 103,000 copies. So I'm sure it's probably right at 108,000 copies. It sells routinely now about anywhere from 4 to 6,000 copies a year, which is just unheard of for any book. How long was that thing? It's the second edition, I believe it was. You can look in your book if you've got it there. The second edition, I think it was published in 93 or 94. So for a book to keep selling like that for that long, you know that it's tapping into a vein that's a lot deeper than just a fly-by-night, mushroom, here today, gone tomorrow philosophy.
Yeah, the second edition, Donnie, was March of 94.
Okay. So, see, that book has been, you know, from 94 to, I'd say, to maybe 94, let's say, to 98, it really shot up in sales. It dropped off and it plateaued off about 3,000 to 5,000 to 6,000 copies. I'd say about 3,000 to 5,000 copies a year. Which, and it just it maintains that level just steady. And I'm hoping if we could get the publicity correct and break into the national scheme, we could sell 1 million copies of that book and change a whole heck of a lot more minds.
Oh, yeah.
and I tell people real quick, I write these books and I promote these books to promote a cause, not to make money. Because, you know, these books cost anywhere from $20 to $25 a piece. I don't hardly get a tenth of that. You know, your royalties on that is very small. If I want to make money, I practice anesthesia. And if you want to know what a nurse anesthetist makes, go on the internet, do a web search, you can see. And then you'll realize Donnie can make a lot more money doing anesthesia than he can selling books. But I'm selling books because I believe in the cause. I believe in the SAP. I believe in the liberty and freedom and the rights of our children and our grandchildren. And if I don't do it, who else is going to do it?
Now, Donnie, obviously you and Ronnie have both continued with the writing, sometimes together and sometimes working on books of your own.
That's correct.
You both have a relatively, you each have a relatively new book out. You want to just mention those two books?
Okay. What I'd like to do is just go over the ones. The South Was Right was the first book, obviously.
Okay.
Why Not Freedom was our second book. And Why Not Freedom is a book that we took on the closing of the war. What happened to America as a result of Appomattox? If the South was right, as we stated in our first book, then what is our condition today, post-Appomattox? And Why Not Freedom, we look at the growth of big government, how big the government is, how intrusive the government is. And if you'll note, the Why Not Freedom was published right after the Newt Gingrich's Republican Revolution, and Bill Clinton said, big government is dead. Y'all remember that?
Yeah, that's right.
Boy, was that a joke.
Yeah, down here in Georgia, Newt Gingrich was calling it his contract with America. We like to refer to it as Newt Gingrich's contract on America.
Well, absolutely, and Newt Gingrich is my favorite carpetbagger to dislike, and I've got an editorial on my webpage, KennedyTwins.com, that I invite people to go look at. But regardless of Why Not Freedom, gives a specific answer to how do we stop the growth of big government. Electing more Republicans will not do the trick. Even electing more Libertarians won't do the trick. That's because the system is fatally flawed. It's flawed because of Appomattox. It's flawed because a system is set in concrete where we, the people of the sovereign state, can enforce the limits of the Constitution on the federal government. And Abraham Lincoln and the Republican Party destroyed states' rights, destroyed that mechanism, and we've got to address that issue. And then we went on to our third book was Jefferson Davis Right, in which we defended Jefferson Davis against a charge of treason. And obviously, by defending Davis, we're continuing our defense of the South. And then I did a book myself, Myths of American Slavery, and now that this is February, this will be a good month to do another show on that book. I forgot about that.
That's right.
That's where we're looking at the mythology around slavery and how the liberals have actually used that mythology to stir up racial hatred in America, especially the South, and to keep black Southerners and white Southerners fighting each other, thereby not realizing who our real enemies really are. And so therefore, I wrote that book, The Myth of American Slavery.
Now,
and,
Donnie, has the Civil Rights Museum in Atlanta requested a copy of that book?
Oh, I do book signs there every week. That was a joke. Yeah, I don't think they'll be requesting my presence unless they got some tar and feathers for me.
Yeah.
Now, the book Myth of American Slavery was followed by Ron's book, Reclaiming Liberty, in which Ron sets the agenda on how, and I love his book because he talks about what he calls 100 years of conservative failure, and he looks at from the 19th century to the year 2000 of how utterly what an utter failure conservatism has been, and especially the Republican Party. You know, after FDR, the Republican Party became the party of, quote, limited government.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? They are just as bad and just as culpable for the growth of big government, socialism, and high taxation as the Democrats. And George Bush is a classic example. Government has grown as much, if not more, under Bush than it did under Clinton. So, you know, good Republicans are not the answer. We've got to do something different. So that's kind of an outline of the books that we've written. And I've got one, Al Benson, the guy who does the Copperhead Chronicles. He and I have got a book coming out hopefully this year, Red Republicans and Lincoln's Marxists.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
I can tell just by the title, that's a good one.
I think in this election year, I hope we can get this out in time to aggravate some of our so-called good Republican friends.
We have some of those down here in Georgia, so we'll pass it along down here. Now, folks, we're visiting with Donnie Kennedy, best-selling author of several books, but especially The South Was Right, put out by Pelican Publishing. On this Pelican Pages segment at Dixie Broadcasting, you can view all of Donnie and Ronnie Kennedy's books by going to epelican.com, and in the search field at the top of the website, just put in Kennedy, and it'll pull up all of their books that they have available there on Pelican Publishing. By the way, these are some good Kennedys.
Amen.
And so, now, Donnie, let me ask you this. Do you have any more of that first edition copies of The South Was Right still available?
I think I have one first edition uncirculated left.
Is that the only one?
That's the only one. And what I'm really thinking about doing, I have not talked to Ron, so I'm kind of going to tell you, so just don't tell him, okay?
All right.
But what I'm thinking about doing is trying to take that last copy of the first, which it's going to be a collector's item, no doubt about it. I want to put that with all our other books and do a kind of an eBay sale of that and use that money to go towards Beauvoir to help rebuild Beauvoir.
That sounds great.
Well, that's one of the things that we're talking about doing, and I want to see that shrine rebuilt down there so bad, it's a little help, but it's something that we can do, and if everybody would do a little bit, we can get a lot done. And that's true in rebuilding Beauvoir, and it's true in rebuilding our rights and our independence and our freedom. You know, we've all got to do what we can do. Our problem sometimes is we look and the job is so big we won't do anything. But if everybody does a little bit, by George, the whole mountain will start moving.
That's exactly right. Folks, we're going to come back with Donnie after this short break. And we have a couple of teasers that we're going to put out there. Maybe you definitely do not want to miss the last segment here. We're going to go into this commercial break with a song by the 12th Louisiana String Band, one of Donnie's groups of buddies down there in Louisiana, and Donnie's favorite song, the Hound Dog Songs.
All right.
So here's the 12th Louisiana.
Every time I go to town, the boys are kicking my dog around. Makes no difference in the end. I gotta quit kicking my dog around. Dog around, dog around. Gotta quit kicking my dog around. Dog around, dog around. Gotta quit kicking my dog around.
Me and them Briggs and Obie Brown lost no time in getting down. We wiped them fellers on the ground, kicking my old dog Jim around.
Every time I go to town,
messed up the courthouse square with rags and meat and hide and camp.
Every time I go down, the boys are kicking my dog around. Makes no difference if he is a hound. Gotta quit kicking my dog around. Dog around, dog around. Gotta quit kicking my dog around. Dog around, dog around. Gotta quit kicking my dog around.
Look at this pile of mail. It's the same thing every day. Junk, 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 credit card offer. Yeah, right. Junk. Whoa, what's this? Yes, sir. Now here's something worth looking at. The Dixie Outfitters catalog, jam-packed with all of Dixie Outfitters' fantastic shirts, hats, sweaters, and accessories. With this catalog, I might actually get my Christmas shopping finished on time this year. Visit DixieOutfitters.com now to order your free full-color Dixie Outfitters catalog today. The Dixie Outfitters catalog. Make checking the mail fun again. Dixie Outfitters, the first name in Southern apparel, is proud to be a title sponsor of DixieBroadcasting.com.
All right, folks, welcome back to this final segment of this Pelican Pages episode at Dixie Broadcasting. We're here this evening with Donnie Kennedy, best-selling author of The South Was Right, along with his brother Ronnie Kennedy, published by Pelican Publishing. And Donnie, during that last break, we heard the 12th Louisiana playing the Hound Dog song.
Yes, sir.
And I did not know until tonight that you were part of that original group on that 12th Louisiana first tape and CD.
Well, that's because they realized my talent was more towards stump speaking, hollering, and writing and not singing. You will not find my voice on the other two tapes or CDs, which are much finer quality.
So again, folks, if you want a real collector's item, you'll have to find one of those first 12th Louisiana CDs or tapes out there. Now, Donnie, you and I spoke for a little while on the telephone yesterday about the possibility down the road. We'll go ahead and let folks know that there may be a Donnie Kennedy radio show on Dixie Broadcasting sometime in the foreseeable future.
Man, I sure would like to put one together. I would really like to do that. This is one of the reasons why I've told many people I've retired from my work or semi-retired so I'd have time to do more things of this nature, and I'd like to get on the radio and start talking. Ron and I did, I think I told you yesterday, Ron and I did about a year a radio on satellite hookup many years ago. I think we called it the Voice of Dixie, and just had a great time with that. But I would love to get started again and hit some topical issues and show the relationship between what happened during the War for Southern Independence, the consequences of Appomattox. How do they affect us today? Everything from the federal government reaching deep into your pocket to the inability of us as individuals to be freeholders any longer. The growth of government from state to federal, how do we solve this problem? And How is it affecting us, and how will it affect our children, our children's children? I would really like to do that, and hopefully we can get things organized and rounded up and squared away, and let's do it.
Well, that sounds good. We'll just have to make it happen.
Good.
Now, Donnie, I don't want to let any more out of the bag than you want to let out, so why don't you just give us whatever you feel like giving us tonight about the possibilities of some political things on the horizon.
Well, Ron and I have talked, and if anybody will take a look at Ron's book, Reclaiming Liberty, by Pelican Publishing Company there, you'll see that Ron and I have always advocated Southerners, good Southerners like ourselves, the listeners of this program, to become politically active, to do things in politics. Now, we don't believe, that this is an underline, please underline this statement, we do not believe that politics is the solution to our problem, but it is a tool to be used in the advance Southern rights and the cause of the South. And one of the things that Ron and I really have felt keenly about for many years is to get into the Republican primary, to realize that the Republican Party is a majority party only because of the South. I know they're not a majority now, but up until this past election, they were only a majority party because of the South. Every president, Republican president, since Dwight Eisenhower, and you don't even remember Dwight Eisenhower, Ray, I did. I was alive at that time, but every Republican president that's been elected since Dwight Eisenhower has been elected by Southern electoral votes. But think about it. How has the South been treated by the National Republican Party? Richard Nixon was the guy that invented forced busing, which destroyed public education in the South, and it destroyed any hope for a decent education for our children, black or white. The Republicans are the ones that organized reverse discrimination. Ronald Reagan, the great Republican conservative, was the guy who extended the anti-South voting rights bill that targets the South only. The Bush brothers, look what they've done, the father and son, look what they've done to the South. George Bush actually yanked the Confederate flag off the courthouse in Texas that honored Confederate veterans, was paid for by money that was raised for them. You know, these people do not love the South. They despise the South. They side with the enemies of the South. The NAACP gets more respect in the Republican Party than Southerners. So, you know, I think it's time that we attack from the South, attack the Republican parties, call them into account, make them realize that the reason the Republican Party has been such a dismal failure at trimming back government is because, in the heart of hearts, they are a big government party.
That's,
you know,
right.
It's time to call them on the carpet. You know, until we have a Republican candidate in the Republican Party that comes along that admits the fact that Lincoln's party killed states' rights and therefore the Constitution, we will forever be the subject of the federal government. We'll be their servants, their slaves, and they'll be the master. And I think we can do that by contending in the Republican primaries for the presidency. Win enough delegates to go to the Republican Party and demand that they apologize to the South for years of oppression, for a war of aggression. Demand that they put into the Republican Party platform a plank calling for the recognition of the sovereign rights of the state, even to the extent of the right of nullification and secession. Hey, you know, think about it. And if they don't want to do it, if they get mad and kick us out, then we'll just go around in the general election, run as a third-party candidate, steal the Southern votes from them, and they'll still be a minority party. But at least they won't be a majority party with our assistance and then sticking it to us every time we turn around. And so we're putting together an exploratory committee shortly. I want to invite everybody to take a look at my website, KennedyTwins.com. It's KennedyTwins.com, and take a look at that, and there's two editorials. You'll see on the front page it says, look here, H-E-R-E, for Kenneth Donnie's latest op-ed editorial, and there's two editorials about the Republicans. One of them called Good Republicans Won't Do, and the second one is Rebels in the Republican Reign. Take a look at those two, and then get back with me. Let me hear what you think. because I would like to stick it to the party of Lincoln, the party that has stuck it to us for so long. Hang them on the horns of a dilemma. Either they're going to admit that they've been wrong for the last 150 years, or they're going to lose the possibility of ever, ever winning a national election, and they're going to lose any hope of ever winning control of Congress without the South. Folks, they need us worse than we need them. And if they stupid for us to allow such a golden opportunity to pass, a chance that we can literally club them over the head and advance the cause of the South like never before.
Well, Donnie, I want to tell you that there are definitely plenty of Southerners who would love the opportunity to vote for a genuine states' rights candidate.
Well, they voted for you, brother.
Well, Donnie, I don't know that I've ever said this publicly anywhere, but you and Ronnie are, you're really the main reason that I am involved in the Southern movement today myself, because that night that I brought your book, The South Was Right, home for the first time and started reading it, couldn't put it down that night. I got on the internet and looked up your name and looked up, started looking at things about the South, and the very first website that popped up was the League of the South's national website, and of course it listed you as being on the board of directors at the time, and and I knew that if the author of the book I was reading was on the board of directors for the League, it must be a good organization, and made some contacts to make sure it was a Christian organization, and and after that, well, it's all been downhill from there. But you know, last year in Georgia, when we ran in the Republican primary for governor, it has to be the first time in my lifetime that an openly secessionist candidate ran for governor in any Southern state, let alone receive 50,000 votes in the Republican primary.
Amen. And just think, we're going to do it across the South.
That's exciting, Donnie.
And just think, the people that normally don't like us, the liberals, the Democrats, and especially in the media, they're going to pay attention to it because they know what a fit it's going to give the Republican Party, and they hate the Republicans more than they dislike us. So we're going to have fun, boys. We're going to have fun, and we're going to advance the cause of liberty.
That's great.
You know, Patrick Henry said it right when he said that the first thing I have at heart is American liberty. The second thing is American union. So it's liberty that comes first. Liberty is our greatest heritage as Southerners.
That's right.
Southern heritage begins first and foremost with liberty.
Well, Donnie, thank you very much for being on the program with us tonight. And we definitely will make sure that it's not so long next time before we have you back.
Good enough. And y'all remember Al Benson in your prayers, please.
Folks, you've been listening to a Pelican Pages segment here at Dixie Broadcasting. And we'll be coming to you sometime this next month with another interview of another Pelican author. In the meantime, you can view all of the Southern titles there at Pelican Publishing, including the books by the Kennedy brothers, by going to epelican.com and just browse through the many titles that are there. By the way, please let Pelican Publishing know that you appreciate them sponsoring Dixie Broadcasting and making it possible for us to continue to bring you pro-Southern music, lectures, speeches, and interviews all down the line. Folks, thanks for listening tonight to the show. There's plenty more music coming up the rest of the night, so don't go anywhere. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank y'all.